You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with, once again, Lou Altman, CEO and lead trainer at Next Level that provides strategic training with the purpose of customer service redemption for those companies that are really serious about providing exceptional customer care. Lou, welcome once again to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, sir. Good to be back.
Hey, good to have you back as well. So first of all, for starters, what do you mean with the question, why are you running your company backwards?
Well, that's actually an interesting question. I throw that one out there. It's sort of like the hand grenade. Here's the fact, and you see it repeatedly. We spend, and I say we in the business community, we seem to spend so much time, energy, effort, resources, money, what have you, attracting new customers. Now, it makes sense. You want to do that. You want your business to grow. How do you grow your business? You bring more people or businesses in that are paying you. But here's the cost. The cost is that when you apply an enormous amount of resources towards what I'll call the front end of your business, the back end of your business where the profitability is, namely your existing customer base, or as I prefer to call them, clients, are walking out the door. We all know that it costs 6, 7, 8, 10, depending what you read, times as much money to bring a new customer on board as it does to keep one. So the question becomes, why do we spend so much money, such enormous amounts of money, to bring new customers in when we virtually ignore the ones that we already have? We already have them. They're already spending money with us. And here's an example of that. How many offers do you get for new customers that become less expensive than somebody who's been spending money with a company for years? I got an ad from my cable company that basically was saying I could have the same package I have for about half price. Now, I've been with them for 10 years. I don't get that deal. Somebody who's never spent any money with them gets that deal. Their profit goes down, and an existing customer gets angry. What do you think happens? So that's what I mean by running your business backwards.
Great explanation. Now, you call yourself the customer service redeemer. What does this mean?
Well, I've served in roles from telemarketer to customer service rep to manager. I mean, I've made outbound calls. I've handled inbound calls. I've run call centers. I've run call groups. I ran a call group that had the highest conversion rate in company history on the inbound side. I've designed, trained, and implemented programs that raise the bar and instituted them in my own company to keep customers in the business. You know, there's no point in getting the check if you don't keep the check. So what occurs to me is why customer service is so bad. How many letters do you get that say, "Dear valued customer"? Well, that's, you know, pretty disingenuous, because if you was really a valued customer, you'd actually use my name. My notion of being the customer service redeemer is bringing back the notion that dear valued customer is genuine, that a company actually cares about who they're mailing that to. Think of a company where you do business. Call them up and see how you feel afterwards. You know, I got to tell you, usually it's not good. We need to bring back the days of service being actual service, and there are multiple levels at which this is done. I'm sure in a future question we'll get into that. But if you want redemption in customer service, it's got to be an intentional activity, not just a casual afterthought.
What is that redemption that you talk about in your programs?
Hey, I'm glad you asked. there are three areas that really need redemption, and I mentioned one. Is your customer service intentional? Is it by design? Are you trying to differentiate your company with your customer service, with your support? Highly trained phone reps, people who know what they're doing, who are knowledgeable, who have the authority to make decisions that benefit the customer, and the systems and the processes in place to support them. That is an intentional customer service program, not just, oh yeah, we need to answer the phone in case someone calls. Currently, customer service centers are mostly yell at phone numbers. We need to change that. Number two, service is not really service anymore. You know, you call in to anywhere. How many buttons do you have to push to talk to a live person? We have these automated systems and interactive voice response systems and really long hold times and in personal conversations. I recently called a company again, where I've been doing business for years. And the first thing the person said to me on the phone was, account number. It didn't even say hello. So, you know, if you have clock watchers and people who are disengaged, as a manager, that is your fault, and you are part of the problem. You need to keep people on staff who are actually interested in what they're doing and interested in how they're doing it, and you need to be interested in how they're doing it and what the result is. It's not that hard to make people happy when they call you. Number three, if you have staff like that, you either need to pay them more, train them more, or get rid of them. You can't have apathetic people answering your phone and pretend that you're going to have exceptional customer care. It just doesn't work. If you're going to be intentional about customer service, you really need to appreciate those frontline people. They're the richest source of information for customer needs and desires and wants. They have more customer-focused thinking than anyone else. Why are they at the bottom of the barrel? Why is it an entry-level position instead of a senior-level position? If your company is customer-centric, your customer service people should be among the highest paid in the company. That's what I mean by redemption.
Here's a big question for you. Why, in your best opinion, has customer service become so bad today?
Well, that's actually a symbiotic relationship or a reciprocal relationship. The first thing is, well, and kind of a chicken and an egg, you know. Companies have forgotten that people really need help, and providing quality service can't be done with a push-button menu, no matter how cheap it is. Yeah, you can frequently get a machine to route somebody to thing and, you know, press one for all of our self-help answers. Well, few people actually want that. And actually, I'll recite two statistics from a Gartner research report. 53% of companies know that their customer service experience is good or worse. 76% of people would rather use a self-help menu on the internet than call, email, Twitter, Facebook, or I think I mentioned email. Now, I put those two statistics together. Companies are so bad at customer service, people are left to their own devices to figure out how to get help for things that they usually don't understand. And so what that means is we on the consumer side have become apathetic and just, well, you know, we're calling an airline. What do you expect? It's going to be terrible, and you'll probably get somebody who's not that interested in what they're doing. Now, literally, I haven't called one airline today. I got to somebody who was actually quite engaged and very interested in what they were doing, but generally that's not the case. So it's become bad because companies have decided that, you know, this is just an expense for us, so we need to minimize our expense, and we as the consuming public, we just kind of take it. You know, that's the way it is. You know, you're calling the cable company. What do you want? And that's why it's become bad. When we start to demand more, companies are going to have to step up more. Otherwise, we leave.
If companies know they are not very good at customer service, why don't they do something about this?
Well, in a lot of cases, they frankly don't have to. I think about it again. I pick on my cable company a lot, but it's kind of easy to do. I live in an area where if I want cable TV and internet and phone, I have one option. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't matter how bad the customer service is. I have no other option. Now, I happen to be in the satellite industry, so I understand a little bit more about how satellite internet and TV works. I don't really see it as a viable option, especially because I have trees all in the way. If companies don't have to have good customer service because they are a quasi or pseudo or somewhat of a monopoly, that means, as I mentioned earlier, we kind of come to accept that, you know, we're just going to be mildly neglected as, quote, valued customers. I called the brokerage house where I have my, you know, my pretty substantial retirement account. I was treated mildly well. Not like, oh, gee, it's really good to hear from you. You know, how's everything going? I hope. Not like anyone cared. What's the problem I need to solve? That's the task is the problem. The task is not the relationship. So if you come again, if your company's being run backwards, focusing on sales, not retention, the evidence shows. You know, we have you as a customer. Now we can kind of ignore you, and we don't need to pay a whole lot of attention to you. You know, back to being intentional about customer service. Very few companies are intentional about it, have said, you know what, service is going to be our hallmark. that's just the way it is among the three places companies can excel. If you choose to be exceptional at customer service, you're going to be.
When a company would like to improve their customer service level, where would one begin?
The best place to start, well, actually, I want to say the best place. The only place to start is with the change in mindset. All the money in the world, hiring new people, building new sites, there's a story out there of a company who's been bashed repeatedly for their rotten customer service, spending $300 million, hiring 55 new 100 reps, building new call centers, and they'll pay you $20 if their technician doesn't show up at the time they said they would. None of that is going to make any difference unless the mindset changes. Company service group can be the source of the absolute most profit in the company. Not stupid miscellaneous fees, not the initial sale, not cost-cutting measures. Here's the thing. Service people talk to, yes, customers or clients, as I prefer to call them. Who has the money the company makes? The customers. They send it to you. If you keep them happy and engaged and make them feel like they're important, the money keeps coming in. And you don't end up with bad press. If you treat them as the gold they are, guess what happens? They stay with you. Your cost of keeping that revenue goes down and your profit goes up. So the mindset has to permeate the company. I call a company, I get a discount on my bill, and 4 months later, I don't have a correct bill. And every month I get a bill. I call and ask the service rep, how much should I pay? They tell me the amount, and the bill never gets fixed. That's not a customer service mindset.
Really great information here today. We're joined by Lou Altman, CEO and lead trainer at Next Level. He's joined us here once again on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Lou, you say that customer service is a hugely underutilized profit center in any organization. How do you explain that statement?
Very, very, very easily, actually. Think about it. Service reps talk to people with the money. Now, unfortunately, a lot of times what the people with the money are calling about is a problem. But here's the thing. A frustrated customer is brilliant. It's wonderful. When I was actually answering phone, I love talking to somebody frustrated. Here's why. Because they still care. They still care enough to call you. People who don't care, they're not going to call you and ask for resolution. They're going to close their account and leave. If you build an incentive program for the customer service reps to be exceptional at keeping the money by keeping the client, you now have a profit center in your customer service, not just an expense. Well, how does that happen? As I said earlier, it's a mindset. It's a willful program designed for that purpose, not to be the, as I said earlier also, not the yell at phone number. Here's the phone number. I need to yell at them. You can yell at me, but you know what? I'll solve your problem because we have a program designed to do that. And I've created programs that retain millions and millions of dollars. And you know what? I didn't have to pay my phone reps anymore. There's alternate currency that you can do. And we whooped it up when we had success because it's the right thing to do for the business. But, you know, I know companies where customer service reps are paid $60,000 to $70,000 a year. In an industry where the average customer service rep salary is, what, half that? Why is that? Because that company has chosen a path of willful customer service. It's an intentional move.
You talk about client retention a lot. When does a company start the retention process?
Client retention starts on the very first prospecting call. And, again, it's part of a mindset. It ties into having a client, not just a customer. If you're prospecting with the notion that you're going to engage this person for years to come, you're going to treat them differently right from the first phone call. It's not just about, you know, let me sell you something and we get some money and you get what you wanted and we'll never talk to you again. You need to have the retention pieces built in. Everyone has to be in on it. I mentioned earlier, I have a company that reduced my bill for services I pay for every month. But 4 months later, I still don't have an invoice that's correct. So if you build your frontline phone reps to have the authority to help, but the IT people aren't fully programming the systems to make it to support what the frontline person has done, you don't have a client retention program in place. It has to permeate throughout the company. But it starts in the very, very first phone call. And this This is why I talk about mindset a lot. Everyone has to be on board.
I hear the terms features and benefits being used in sales and marketing. What's the difference between features and benefits?
Yeah, that drives me nuts. It's sort of like new and improved. It can't be both. It's got to be one or the other. Features are what it does. Benefits are what it does for me. Here's an example. I used to bring my little Chevy S10 pickup truck into the service garage because there was a defect in the oil filter gauge. I probably, in the 4 years I owned the truck, I probably replaced the thing 30 times. And it was just a manufacturer warranty issue. But one time the guy said, what are you messing around with this thing for? I got a full-size pickup truck out there. It's loaded. It's got everything on it. Well, that's a lot of features. I was commuting 120 miles a day in my little 28 per gallon mile pickup truck. Why do I want a pickup truck that's going to cut that in less than half going 120 miles a day? Lots of features, no benefit to me whatsoever. I see these terms used in interchanged all the time, and it's just plain wrong. The most popular radio station in the world is WIIFM. What's in it for me? And that's what people buy. What resonates with them? And if you don't believe me, go try selling air conditioning in a car to people who live in the Arctic Circle. It's a great feature, but it is of no benefit to anybody there.
And that certainly is a great analysis there. Now, Lou, you are about your clients, not customers, but clients. What's the difference here?
There's a significant difference. Even though customers and clients sort of want the same thing, they want, you know, there's a one word for what customers and clients all want. Everybody wants a result. That's why we buy anything, right? We buy a house because the result is we get to live indoors. We buy a vehicle because we get to not have to walk. Customers are transactions. A client is a relationship. I'm a customer at the grocery store and the gas station. Go to the gas station, I put gas in, it's a transaction, I get a receipt, I go home. I'm a client of my attorney, my doctor, and my accountant. The difference is advice. Clients value advice and knowledge. Education helps them make a better decision. There's never been any debate about that. I don't ask the produce clerk at the grocery store which apples I should buy. Yeah, I mean, unless he's going to take 15 minutes to discuss with me my preference in apples, which I can assure you he will not. But I sure listen to my accountant's recommendation when it's tax time. And here's the thing. Clients hang around a lot longer. You know why? Because you're providing something more than just a good or service. You're providing the intangible of a trusted relationship. And if you're doing a good job, this relationship can last for a long time. I mean, if you have a lousy product, treating somebody like a client in any retention program is just not going to help. You got to have a quality product and deliver a little bit more than just the product itself. The more value you deliver, which I liken to advice, which builds trust, you end up with clients, and clients spend more money over time.
Lastly, what makes your next level approach to corporate training so unique?
That's a great question. You've already heard my theory that customer service is the single most undervalued, underappreciated, and underutilized business unit in the majority of organizations across the planet. Well, when I train companies, and it's at all levels of the organization, you need to build the mindset at the senior level. You need to then translate that mindset and what the strategic directive is to the frontline managers, and then discuss and train the frontline personnel on how they support all of that. It needs to run from the phone rep all the way up. Does this support the strategic directive? That's step one, is to look at what the strategic directive is and do these activities support it. But here's the real difference. I've seen a lot of other trainers. They come in and they rah-rah, and we all get a shot of feel good, and we whoop it up for a day or two, and then they leave, and there's a slight impact for a while, and I've not met too many of these trainers that have actually sat in the phone rep seat. I have sat in the phone rep seat, and I sat there for a number of years and worked my way from phone rep to senior phone rep to manager to assistant vice president running a site, actually created a site and built programs. I've done it from the ground up, so I take a customer-centric approach. I'm looking at it from the other end of the phone, not from your side as the client. You're the client, but I'm going to challenge and I'm going to advocate for the person that you're talking to. because you're in the organization. You know your capabilities. You know what you're doing. I'm still going to ask the questions, why are you doing this? And my training is, some have called it very simplistic. I ask incredibly simple questions with remarkably profound implications. Questions like, what is a customer? What do they want? That the question that you asked me earlier, what is a feature, what's a benefit? I ask those questions. Which do customers buy? These are really important questions to ask, and the majority of trainers out there aren't asking that. They're taking the high-level approach, and I'm going to show up in my fancy suit, and we're going to dazzle and do magic tricks and tell great stories, but not a lot comes out of it. That's the next-level approach, is to make sure that clients, even in a 40-minute program, walk away with something tangible that they can implement to improve their business from day one.
Well, I can tell you right now that this session certainly has helped quite a few people to get the mindset of taking care of their clients in the proper way. We certainly appreciate the time spent here. Tell our listeners where they can get more information about Next Level online and how they can be in touch as well.
Absolutely. Next Level, the website is www.next-level.com. The phone number is 603-610-7124, or you can shoot me an email at lou@next-level.com.
Easy enough, Lou. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here once again on Enterprise Radio. Certainly look forward to our next conversation.
Glad to be here again. Thanks a lot.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Lou Altman, once again, CEO and lead trainer at Next Level, that provides strategic training with the purpose of customer service, redemption for those companies that are really serious about providing exceptional customer care. And once again, the website of reference is next-level.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.